Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Speedway Anywhere, your motorsports and multi-sports hour. blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. I'm your crew chief, Q. It's Monday, and time for your weekend recap, as well as motorsports and motion feature. Excuse me. This week is the NASCAR Truck Series and how it came to be in 1995. I hope you enjoy it. One thing different about tonight, this is not going to be a pre-recorded segment. I had a busy day. I had a busy yesterday. I'm going to be flying without a safety net. I'm going to be walking the wire. I'm going to be doing this one live. This is going to be about the Crest Truck Series as it originally was. And let's go. I have the title, which is Keep on Trucking. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of the NASCAR Truck Series is why they didn't get it going decades before, when we had the El Caminos and Rancheros or the others. It would have been the perfect crossover from stock cars. Heck, they already had ran convertibles by that time with roll bars. It was in 1991 when some guys from the West Coast, nonetheless, proposed the idea to NASCAR. The group was part of the SCORE Off-Road Series and wanted to create a pavement truck series. How we doing, Kurt? All right, I lost Kurt. They had consulted with NASCAR West operations, but by the time it got to the East Coast, in Daytona, along with Bill France, it just wasn't well received. The West officials advised them to build a prototype and showcase it at Daytona in 1994. So that's exactly what they did. Not only was it showcased, but tested at Daytona during speed weeks. Not at full speed, not really in full spec, but it was tested. It was in April 94, after a meeting in California, it became official that the truck series was born. Later in 94, there was four winter series races. They were exhibition races. They were in Mesa Marin, California, Portland, Oregon, Saugus, California, and Tucson's popular winter heat series. The very first race in Mesa Marin, July 30th, of course, an exhibition race was won by P.J. Owens, obviously a familiar name through all major NASCAR series. And future truck champion Ron Hornaday won at Tucson, the fourth of the exhibition races, September 24th. I must mention that P.J. Jones ran all four, and to the best of my info, was the only one to do so. 1995 opened their first year as a companion event to the Skull Bandit Copper World Classic Series held on February 5th at Phoenix International Raceway. It was the first event of the 1995 NASCAR Super Truck Series. It didn't have a title sponsor at the time. So later on throughout the year, it became the Crafts and Truck Series. This event wasn't at Speed Weeks in Daytona and preceded the Daytona 500 in 1995 by 2 weeks. It wasn't until later, titled the Crafts and Truck Series, when it joined Speed Weeks in the 2000, but more on that in a little while. I'm going to cut a quick break here. I need to check on something, and we'll be right back. So,
take me out to the ball game. Swing, better swing. Swing, better swing. Better swing, better swing. Yeah. Hey, baby, do you come here often? Hey, baby, now watch your sign. Next in line. Swing, better, better, swing, better, better, swing, better, better, swing. Swing, better, better, swing, better, better, swing, better, better, swing. Why, yes, I went to Harvard.
All right, I'm going to come back here. I got everything figured out. As soon as I get my control board figured out here, we're going to say goodbye to Trace Atkins, and we will get back to the story about the truck series. Like I said, this week's feature story is on the Craftsman Truck Series called Keep on Trucking. And the first race of the official NASCAR Truck Series, it was won by Mike Skinner. You may remember he became the first teammate of Dale Earnhardt Sr. in 1997. That was the original Lowe's car before Jimmy Johnson. Mike Skinner drove that paint scheme as the number 31, but Mike Skinner drove in the truck series in 1995 and 96 in that familiar number 3 paint scheme when he ran as the black GM Goodrich. Skinner never took a victory in Cup, but made Rookie of the Year in 97 in the accomplishments in Cup. In that first race in 95, though, Terry Labonte took second, who really wasn't a moonlighter type, but he did, however, have some kind of interest in the new truck series. Ken Schrader took third. The most interesting story to this is Ken Schrader became the first ever in all three major NASCAR touring divisions when he won the third race of the year. He won the trucks at Saugus Speedway in California in April of 1995. It was the third race, as mentioned, of the inaugural 20-race season. Throughout the first years of what is now known as the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, they implemented an intermission for 10 minutes at the halfway point of a race. Is a mandatory stop, and this kind of bored me throughout the first, 3 years, 3.5. Mandatory pit stop, 10 minutes, gave all teams a chance to make some changes and repairs and tires and gas up. Number of tires allowed per race differed on a race-by-race basis, and, of course, length of race and the type of track as far as track wear. With opening capacity crowds, the numbers and ratings were through the roof, but they started to descend. And it was 4 years to the series that NASCAR decided to do away with the halftime and run it like the real green and caution stops and It was starting at Pikes Peak, Colorado, the Mile High track, July 25th, 1998, and they did away with it. The ratings went back up. Lead changes and strategy changed drastically. Lead changes went up. There was more variety of winners. It was a good thing. It really was. It was meant to save money in the beginning, but the racing just, it was kind of generic, if you ask me. But that's just me. So much I want to cover, and I know even though it's the shortest running major series in NASCAR, it's got a ton of history. Mike Skinner, the old number three Childress Earnhardt scheme, first winner, first team addition to Big E at Childress in 97. Sure, no cup win, but I heard a guy say, that guy being Mike Skinner, I'm going to make this car 80 feet wide and wreck my own mom for my first cup win. Skinner took the first of the Truck Series championships. Speaking of Dale Sr., he tapped Ron Hornaday in what became his first as a team owner, is the best way I can put it. He tapped Ron Hornaday to drive what was the beginnings of DEI, Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. Hornaday, obviously multi-time champ and cup driver, multi-time champ of the Truck Series, became a cup driver for AJ Foyt later on down the road, driving number 14 nonetheless. Jack Sprague drove the Hendrick number 24, pretty famous number for that Hendrick camp. Multi-time champ in the Truck Series too. Can't argue with a driver getting chosen to run that number 24. Roush Racing, that's another one. I remember Chuck Bowne driving the 99 X-Side Ford in the Truck Series. After Chuck was released, Roush went around actually asking to fill a seat in the Truck Series with none other than Benny Parsons. He asked Benny. Benny said, have you taken a look at Greg Biffle? Greg was another West Coast driver from Tucson Winter Heat Series, actually from the state of Washington. He was all up and down that West Coast and ventured a little further. But Greg was tapped by Roush to begin in 1998. There he didn't win, but had four poles and finished eighth in points. And rookie 1990, he hit the gates running. And he had nine victories and finished second in the points to Jack Sprague. Biffle's nine wins still to this day is the record in the Truck Series. The following year, Biffle became Truck Series champion of 2000. And then, of course, moved his way up through the Xfinity Series and then into Cup. Even though Biffle isn't in the Cup Series now, I wouldn't count him out. Making a return, kind of like, Kenza. I think Carl Edwards, too, might make a return. It was also 2000 that the Chrysler Truck Series made their debut at Daytona. That race was marked as the most horrific crash ever in NASCAR. I have never seen a driver survive anything close to that. Jeff Bodine and Kurt Busch got together, and Jeff got turned up in front of the front stretch into the fence, and the rest is all smoke until you see Jeff's torn apart truck still doing many barrel rolls, too many to count as it kept coming apart. The engine even went flipping down the track. Can't count how many times that engine flipped. I have no idea again. There was so much smoke and everything. what I remember most was the broadcasters when they went to commercial and said, say a prayer. It's crazy that after they came back from commercial, workers got Jeff from the mess. He actually gave somewhat of a thumbs up as he was conscious on the stretcher. The fencing had to be repaired. It was a long red flag. A lot of cleanup. Spectators and track workers right there in the stands were injured. No fatalities, but even the way that the gas tank and everything else came apart, there was everything from blunt injuries to burn injuries. So enough of that. I forgot to turn down my phone. I apologize to you guys for that. As the truck series came up through the years, it created many memorable times in NASCAR. When you think about it in comparison, it's been 23 years to the Cup Series inception of 70 years. Can you imagine trying to do a feature about the Cup Series in an hour? That's not going to happen, and I'm not going to be able to cover enough of this in the 1 hour that we have. One thing that sticks out to me is how much the Truck Series has brought back old school short track aggression on the big stage. Those guys and gals ain't afraid to fight for spots, trade paint on a higher level than Cup, give payback that we don't often see in the Xfinity and Cup Series. Now let's remember, however, that incident when Kyle Busch was moonlighting in the trucks, when he blatantly paid back Ron Hornaday and got parked for the weekend. He had to sit out his Cup Series race on the 2 days after on Sunday. Didn't work out so good for him now, did it? But hey, Roddy Busch, that kid was wild. More memories that come to mind is like Carl Edwards stepped up to a truck ride when he saw his first win. Little did we know when he got up on the truck bed and waved to the crowd, it'd be his first backflip out of that car, that truck. And of course, later at Atlanta, his career in an Xfinity race, when he got his first win, we wondered, how is he possibly going to do it from the stock car window? But he did. The next day, he got his first Cup win at Atlanta in the same fashion as Harvick versus Gordon. Remember that bone-chilling Harvick versus Gordon and first three races that Harvick drove as the replacement for Earnhardt after he passed away? Well, Edwards beat Gordon in the same fashion, bumper to bumper, photo finish. Edwards flipped out the window again. So, but that's a whole nother story. That's not the Truck Series. So many have come through the series and had major success, like Brad Keselowski, Kurt and Kyle Busch, Ron Hornaday, who went on to race for AJ Foyt in the Cup Series. I know I'm leaving out a ton of drivers, but it's a long story. Some have stopped. Guys, just use one off races. Go one off race. between. And I think it was 1997, his brother John died in the truck series at Homestead. Joe came out and won a race that year at Homestead in the final race of the truck year. And he was able to kind of pay tribute to John Nemechek. John Nemechek, obviously, got his first step into NASCAR's top divisions in the truck series. Local spinoff series throughout the, you want to go from all four corners of the United States. The truck series were, instead of the F-150s and the Silverados, and by the way, the Dodge Rams were a part of it for a while, but then the now Toyota Tundras are part of the series. But other basically mini pickups, the Chevy S10, the Ford Ranger, I got that right? I think I do. The Dodge, what's the mini pickup from Dodge? I should know this stuff, right? Well, fill in the blanks. But no, as far as short track racing, there was a lot of spinoff divisions that became part of your local Friday, Saturday, or Sunday racing series. Multiple champion Matt Crafton. He's struggling this year, but he's made his mark. Multiple time champion. He's not too far out. I mean, he's 6 in points. Not sure what that's going to mean for this year. Johnny Sauter's dominating with, of course, a championship in 2016, a second place runner up in 2017. I think the only guy that's really making a threat on him is going to be Noah Gregson. But we're only halfway in. I think they're on their 10th race. I'm going to get to more of that in a bit as we go back to our regular coverage. But I would love to do more of a full, I could do a whole hour on this. I could do, part one, part two, part three. It's 23 years, and I can't wait to see what's going to come of it. It's going to be an interesting run for the truck series. Like I said, they're like local short track. They're more grassroots than, of course, the other two major divisions. I'm gonna cut here and take a break, and we'll be right back. Yeah, I kind of wish I pre-recorded that one. That's a that's a lot of talking at one time to do by yourself. I hope you liked the feature story. Those guys and gals are grassroots racing on the big stage. They ain't afraid to let it all hang out. Let's cut to our motorsports news. Monster Cup Series. Last year's champion, Martin Truex Jr., won at Sonoma, the first road course of the year, and got his third win of the season. That's that puts him ahead in wins over Clint Bowyer. Kevin Harvick took second with his teammate Bowyer in second. Third. Chase Elliott finished fourth and followed up by Kyle Busch, rounding out the top five. This has been amazing how dominant the Stewart Haas team is, putting those guys in the top five on multiple occasions, even being first, second, and third recently, even though it was a rainout. But hey, even teammate Kurt Busch finished in sixth. Eric Almirola finished in eighth. Obviously, inside the top 10. What do you say to that? Everyone was worried whether or not Bowyer was going to be able to justify that number 14 Tony Stewart car. Well, their questions are answered. Kyle Busch is locked into the chase. Kevin Harvick is locked into the chase. Kevin Harvick is second in points to Kyle Busch, even though Harvick has five wins to Kyle Busch's four. So it all comes down to It all comes down to penalties. It comes down to DNFs. Kevin Harvick has two DNFs to Kyle Busch's one. Kyle Busch has no penalties. So, points right now after 15 races, as mentioned, Kyle Busch in first, Harvick in second. Third is Joey Logano with only one win. Brad Keselowski has none. Martin Truex has three. When you look at that big picture, Harvick has obviously the most wins. Busch is four. Truex in fifth has three. Logano only has one. Keselowski with none. Now, these are mistakes that these guys cannot be making come down to the chase. So, obviously, Truex, third highest in wins, three over Logano's one. Consistency in penalties. I got ahead of myself in my notes, so that's why I'm repeating stuff. If the same thing doesn't happen to Keselowski, it could go lights up with the number two team. He's got no wins. He's got no lock on the chase. And there's a lot of guys that have time to step up. Xfinity had the weekend off, but will return the 30th between the Cup and Truck Series at Chicago. How's it going, Kurt? I need to talk a little less for a second.
I was gonna say, you know, when you repeat yourself, it's kind of like when you got gas, you know. Speaking of racing, you get gas, you know.
And then you expel it?
Gas. G-A-S. Gas. Some people,
you know,
spell
before
it F-A-R-T, you know. Hey, I would hear people say that about the kart series as a kid, though. You know, Bobby Rahal, he could possibly win the farting title, you know. instead of cart, you know, fart.
Let's see, championship auto racing teams. So if it was called the Federal Auto Racing Teams, oh, that would have been unfortunate.
Yep. Never figured it out till later on, because it was the CART PPG IndyCar World Series, and PPG, I guess it was like a paint company, but Pittsburgh Plating and Glass or something. But never figured that out until long after CART ended.
See, and that's just bad promotion.
CART, yep,
PPG. And what good does it do to call yourself PPG?
Hmm.
Kind of like for years, nobody knew a
points
NASCAR
per Grand Prix. Think about that. That's what I thought it meant, points per Grand Prix, and you win the championship, you know.
Well, they would have had to add another P at the end, but points per Grand Prix.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, but.
Hey, I got to tell you something. Because I need to take my focus off my notes just for a second. You know, I went out for a fresh air break. You know, one of those nicotine-laced fresh air breaks.
Yeah.
And I got asked by a couple of women if I was hungry. And they were part of the Jeff Johnson camp.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know what? Matter of fact, I am. They had just put on a big to-do or whatever. They had a big cold cup buffet, and they had the veggies and the ranch dressing and the whole. I'm not making this up. So I stepped downstairs, you know, threw together a little cheese and turkey and pickle on a bun, and I said, ooh, there's some broccoli and there's some cheddar sauce there, and one of the gentlemen said, here, let me reheat that sauce for you. So I got some broccoli, I got some cheddar, I got a sandwich. I was like, and they weren't pushing the political stuff on me at all. It was fine,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty awesome.
You know,
so,
I do got to admit, though, and I don't mean to change the subject here, but though my political views are all over the place, and I didn't really agree with Norm Coleman, but I did got to admit, it was cool to meet him at the fair, you know, and that too, and, you know, he was funny, you know, and there's not a bunch of people around either, which was cool, and meeting Amy Klobuchar at a diabetes or at the prescription drug rally too, you know, that was cool, and just, you know, and I gotta admit, Amy Klobuchar is cute, you know.
I got to take the focus off of politics. I really do. It's a motorsports show. But, hey, vote Jeff Johnson as official caterer for the 2018 election.
Yep.
All right. Let's keep pouring through some of this stuff. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And it's been all about trucking. Justin Haley scored his first win at Gateway on Saturday evening. Todd Gilliland in second, Johnny Sauter in third, Mike Snyder fourth, and Zane Smith in fifth. Johnny obviously still leads points. Noah Gregson trailing by a large gap, but leading in second by a large gap as well. They will lead off on Friday, June 29th at Chicago for the Cup Series and Xfinity Series. IRL, oh, by the way, Noah Gregson ended up in 10th after leading so much of the race, but that's a whole nother story. The IRL race at Road America, Lake Elkhart. Wisconsin, Elkhart Lake. What is it called? Joseph Newgarden, Ryan Hunter raced second, Scott Dixon in third. Scott Dixon points. They'll return at Iowa July 8th, preceded by the ARCA Series the day before. ARCA Series put on a hell of a show. My God, I was on the edge of my seat that Friday night. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they just look like rookies. Sheldon Creed still leads the points. Sheldon Creed won the race. Harrison Burton, Jeff Burton's son. Man, that kid can thread a needle. A lot of three-wide racing as he was taking his chances to get up to third between the guys running in third and fourth. Kim Burton was up there on the pit box watching it, pulling her hair out. Kurt, you remember what she looked like back in the day when Jeff Burton was challenging for a win, and the tears in her eyes, and she looked so stressed out.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she was like with her son. I'm really
I'm wondering. I'm wondering what she'd do when Ward would sing karaoke at their wedding. No, I'm kidding. You want to talk about tears in your eyes? No, I'm kidding. I love Ward.
I imagine Ward as just where Elvis talks and or a cross between Elvis and someone else. I can't quite figure it out. But yeah.
Are you lonesome tonight?
As far as I know, on July 14th, Harrison will be running. And I know that Jeff sometimes follows him to the races. I'm assuming that Kim will be there. So that'd be kind of fun to meet him. I mean, hey, I got a press pass. The ARCA Series will open up Chicago Thursday, June 28th, the day before the Truck Series does. And so it's going to be a four-feature weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, ARCA Truck, Xfinity, and then Cup. I picked the wrong week to not have enough money to travel to Chicago, but hey. And then, of course, the ARCA Series at Iowa the day before the IRL on the 7th. In HRA, Blake Alexander took top field. Matt Hagen, funny car. Courtney Forrest hasn't managed to get back to victory lane in the finals. Tanner Gray, pro stock. Eddie Krawick, pro cycle. Steve Torrance still leads top field. Courtney still leads funny car. Tanner Gray, again, pro stock. Eddie Krawick, pro cycle. You know, it's kind of slowed down a bit, if you ask me, in the NHRA. It was, you know, back and forth a little bit as far as points leaders, but it's become as predictable as Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon or, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm just wondering all them years, and I didn't follow drag racing, but when I'm looking at the stuff, though, about John Forrest throughout the years, though, it's kind of like all of a sudden he doesn't win a title, and it's kind of like, whoa. I mean, people are probably jumping for joy. Never hear anything bad about him, but, you know, it's just kind of like, whoa, cool.
You know, for me, too, when you know, all those years of Mark Martin playing bridesmaid to Jeff Gordon in the points, I was so sick of Jeff Gordon. And then when I heard he was leaving, I was kind of like, dang, this is a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, dude's my age. And I don't think I'm going to feel like that about Jimmy Johnson.
You know, I just got a feeling, though, about Jimmy Johnson when he's done, then everybody will really like him because, you know, just that absolute domination, but one thing, seeing the same team, the same person over and over and over doing it. And one thing, I didn't follow golf that close, but Tiger Woods didn't win everything all the time. I mean, it does. And even the Yankees. The New York Yankees don't win every year, and that's, you know, and even the Patriots. Patriots are always picked to win their conference, but, you know, they don't win every title.
Well, how many more times do you need to hear LeBron James' name? Go ahead.
I do got to admit, though, LeBron, when his team loses a title, he does get heat, though, from the media. And especially when Dallas beat Miami, oh, man, what he just said, though, after the Mavericks won the NBA Finals, and it was just, well, everybody can go back to work tomorrow. I don't have to. And, yeah, that was kind of like, whoa, the media doesn't always love him. Cool. So.
I think it's funny how you just said he gets heat. At, you know, pun it. That little pun that, remember, what was it, 2011 when Miami got him?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And, oh, yeah.
Talking about another basketball subject. Have the Lynx broke the 500 mark?
I believe they're now at 500. They're either one game below or they're right at 500. They're really picking it up. Maya Moore I don't know if Maya was the WNBA player of the week or she was the conference player of the week, or but she got a player of the week honor, so.
You know, nothing lasts forever, but I didn't expect them to go that bad this year. That was just a crazy start. And I don't know if they're playing that great of teams or if it's like the Twins that are playing the worst teams and losing. And speaking of the Twins, of course, I got to squeeze this in. They snapped the broomstick. They kept Texas from doing the sweep, but themselves seem to find that witch grab her broom, kind of like Donald Trump. The whole witch hunt. Everyone's trying to find the broom. So yeah, versus the Bo Sox. Man, these have been some really exciting games. So, I mean. When I consider that walking steal for Dozier, just, you know, and Kepler's contested catch out there in the outfield, had the guys to New Jersey, because it's really New Jersey. You got to call it New Jersey, even though they always say New York. There was no way they could have got that call wrong on a review. Hey, we're going to do something different tonight for Final Laps. I don't know if there's any other teams worth talking about. I don't know.
Oh, by the way, I got to bring something up. That was one long caution lap.
Hey, I recorded it the next morning and fixed it. So, here's what we're going to do for final laps tonight. Even though there's like 13 minutes to go, I'm gonna do it like this. We're not going to do an actual final five. I'm going to say, if you had to make a team, no matter what sport, out of cartoon characters,
ooh,
who would you draft? Choose as many players as you want, no matter any sport. You go first. You choose the first one.
Daffy Duck. Daffy Duck
and
would
why?
Be the first. Daffy Duck is a jerk. But yet, Daffy gets screwed with, though, too. And he'll tell you off. That's what Daffy is. Daffy is probably the most normal one of all the Looney Tunes characters, just because he's not so, I don't know, his personality can be in so many different ways. So that's my first one.
Okay, I forgot to mention to you that as a rule, there has to be one trade at the end.
Okay.
I got to go with Bart Simpson. He's going to be the best cheater. And he's not afraid to take a penalty and get stuck, you know, writing on the blackboard. He's not afraid of penalties. He's going to write his sentences and go on. All right, who's your next?
Oh, Fred Flintstone. The guy can run with no shoes on.
And power a car.
And power a car. He doesn't need gas. Unfortunately, his best friend's got the hot wife, though, in this show, but
I kind of like Redhead Wilma. She's kind of anorexic.
You know, but yeah, I gotta go with Fred.
All right. Obviously, my next choice has to be Speed Racer. For completely obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you got Fred, you got
Daffy.
You got Daffy. I got Bart. I got Speed Racer. Who's your next?
Ooh, this one's going to be kind of hard. I kind of want to go with a modern. Well, Eric Cartman, he tells it like it is.
I think he'd make a great cheater as well.
Yep, and oh yeah. Right. He always wanted to be a stock car driver too, so.
Yeah. All right, I gotta go with He-Man.
Oh God.
He-Man's got the
strength. Oh.
But the thunder of Grayskull or whatever the hell he says. But yeah. He-Man, dude's got the power. All right.
I already know who my next pick is.
Okay, go for it.
Homer Simpson.
Boy, talking about gas.
Oh, I know. Could you imagine him and Fred hanging out together?
Well, they made great teammates on that level. I'm sure they could
yeah.
work burp a ton of beer, but not sure what his XL. I mean, I don't think he could swing a bat. I'm sure he can't run. I've seen him drive. Where do I go from here? You know, I gotta go with Timmy. I don't think other teams would play him as hard. They would, they give him a little sympathy. And you got to give a guy a chance.
Yeah, I'll take that. Let's see here. For me, oh, I'm trying to think about all the cartoons. No, I wasn't a big fan of that. Now that cartoon came from a TV show.
They can be from Disney, too.
I know. I thought about some Disney characters. That was more Looney Tunes. Oh, God, I wanted to say Foghorn Langhorn, but even he would be too annoying for me. You know, I would definitely go with the Roadrunner.
Damn.
He can get out of anything. Can get out of anything.
You know, I'm trying to choose between a villain or a coach. What the hell was the guy's name from Yogi? The Ranger.
Oh, the Ranger? I couldn't remember his name.
I'm going to have to go with him, whoever the hell he is. He'd be my coach. And,
Am I allowed to take a pair? Or can I only take one character?
You know, I failed the rules before the show, so I guess anything goes.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, Thinking Person's cartoon. Minnesota bred and born, Bullwinkle. Come on, people, Frostbite Falls. Oh, yeah. You know, and, oh, yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to do the same thing, then. I was trying to think of who would I take, Scooby or Shaggy. So now I'm going to take both.
Oh.
They're the ones that ultimately solve everything, no matter how much they get stoned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, putting together a team, we got to take the dude. He's the best pitcher that ever was born. He's on the worst baseball team ever. Got to take Snoopy. Got to take Snoopy.
Who's the little bitch that always pulled the football out of the way for Charlie?
Oh, that was Lucy.
You know, I'd have to go with her because she's just a sports jerk.
Hey, she offers psychiatric help for people too, so
There is
that. Oh, yeah. You know Lucy at that stand, psychiatric help, 5 cents?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Can you actually believe that we're doing this as final laps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can tell you didn't have much time.
Well, certain someone in my life, it kind of, yeah. But that's okay. I still got a pretty full story of the truck series in place. All right, so I took Lucy. I think we're about to the end of this, unless you really had a burning desire pick.
Well, I want to say Beavis and Butthead, but that one's too obvious. Obviously, they do know how to play frog baseball. You know, let's make our trade real quick.
Is there anyone you want from me?
Oh, you know, I want to go with Speed Racer. I'm not giving up Snoopy. You know, I want Lucy so that way Charlie Brown will stay away from the team. And that way she could do it to other teams, though. Who would you want for Lucy? Because I want Charlie Brown showing up.
Who would I give you for Lucy?
No, who would you want from me for Lucy?
Yeah.
No, who would you want for Lucy? I got to keep Charlie Brown away from my team because it's not good.
I will give you Timmy and Lucy for the Roadrunner.
Ooh. You know what? I think I'll do it.
Hell yeah.
I think I'll do it, but you know what I'm gonna have to do then? I'm gonna have to pick up Wile E. Coyote off the free agent market.
Well, you go ahead and do that, and I'm gonna grab like SpongeBob or something stupid like that off the free market.
Yep.
All right, so it's official. The draft has ended. All right, we're going to call this, and it's going to be a cap on the show. Thanks, Captain Kurt. Still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm trying to think of a smart-ass comment here. I can't think of one.
I'm 3 seconds down. All right, so thanks, Captain Kurt. I'm your crew chief, Q. This has been Speedway Anywhere. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Wherever you go, get there fast. We'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, hopefully with Rich from the bullpen. And maybe even our demolition derby and multi-motorsports buddy, Sergeant Jesse Preston. Have a good night, everybody.